Hey there! Welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the quirky podcast that gives you writing tips and life tips, and maybe a chuckle or two.
You sound like such a grandpa.
What a great start.
And maybe a chuckle or two. I'm Carrie. I'm the New York Times and internationally best-selling author of kids' books.
And I'm Sean, her lovely co-host.
We're married, and you can tell. Normally, we start off the podcast with a random thought. Sometimes that's in bed, sometimes it's in the car, sometimes it's in the office, but it's always random, like us. And then we'll give you a writing tip and a dog tip.
And hopefully some good fodder as well.
Thanks for sticking with us.
Enjoy your day.
Hey, it's Random Thought in the house.
You started already?
I did start already. Oh, Sean's a little behind the eight ball today.
I've been working, man.
He's been working all
it's
morning.
It's Sunday.
And it's Sunday.
It's the day after Halloween and I've been working. That's not even right.
And I've been working all day too. But I'm still ahead of the eight ball.
Oh,
did you hear the pause?
How about next time I get in this predicament where somebody gets themselves fired?
Sean fires someone, but they don't
yet.
Know it yet.
I haven't.
But they'll know it when this runs.
Mentally, I have. And it's happening today or tomorrow.
Yeah. And when people hear this, it's going to be Tuesday, the day of the election, right?
Oh, Jesus. Nobody will care about our podcast on
Tuesday.
I know. I'm going to be down in
the
basement loading the clips for that month.
Maybe. Everyone will try to escape to our podcast because they can't handle the election. So everyone will listen. It'll be like our best podcast day
I'd rather
ever.
Listen to us on repeat than Donald Trump any day of the week.
Sean has just let his political sway.
My partisanship?
His partisanship.
Dude, we could go on and on and on with that for hours, but yes. I know that's not really delectable fare. So.
My baby boy looks like a white supremacist because he's 6'6 and he has really short hair and he's very, very white. And he's got a commanding presence.
But dude, I don't even know if I qualify as white.
Bayer.
Do they have a pale category? Like a pink category? How about no color?
Sean's race is pink.
What's the antithesis of people of color?
I don't know.
Like beyond white.
Beyond white. I don't know if there's something whiter than white, baby. But
it's red. Pink. I don't
know. But you're
not.
You're actually ruddy. You're a pale ruddy person.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
Like my mom was, especially when she was dying, was so white that like. You're not,
yeah, I'm not like ghost white.
No,
like,
she
I'm
was.
I'm not talking about
ghost
that kind
white.
Of pale.
No, man.
I and mean,
got,
I don't know the color
eyes.
Wheel, so I don't know what I'm referring to.
The color
like
wheel.
Like going around, you know. In my mind, I'm going from. I don't know. There's this little teeny tiny slice between POC and white.
Yeah.
And I fall in there somewhere.
No,
because
you don't.
I'm not white. No, I'm not POC whatsoever. I'm just saying my skin tone is. Okay, if you press on it
yes.
and take your finger away, I went white for a second.
You're like white for a
but
second.
But then it goes back to whatever that is.
But if
is.
You flip over to places that...
Oh my God, that's like a fish belly.
You know, I once went to a makeup party, and this was so upsetting to me.
Did they say your skin was trout belly?
Yeah, pretty much. No, but that was what was upsetting to me. Everyone there was a white woman because it was in Ellsworth, Maine, I guess. Mm-hmm. And... Maine is an incredibly white state, right? And then, I don't know, Ellsworth was at the time a very, very white city, like really white. So we're all doing our makeup thing, right? Like,
yeah.
And I don't want to be there anyway. I'm just being a good person because if you know me, I don't wear makeup because I'm
Whoever
too cheap.
Whoever wants to go to one of those sales parties?
No, people like it.
Or sex toys.
They like it because you have wine and you get to hang out with other ladies
oh,
or
that's
other
true.
Men. And
it's like going to any event where you're supposed to leave money behind. You're only going for the food. Okay, I'm sorry,
anyways,
I will not interrupt again.
He's going to interrupt again. So anyways, I'm at this thing, and they're all white ladies, so they're all ladies as well. And the first step is figuring out like the color of your base, like the complexion coat, the makeup that you put all the other makeup over and all
yeah.
over your face, which is like gross to me because I like my face to breathe. Anyways, like... So they're all like, there's like 00 ultra pale, 0 pale, 1 still pale, but not quite as pale, all the way up to like 5 for white people, right?
Yeah.
And all the ladies are like, oh, I'm so pale. Oh, I'm a 1. I'm a 2. I'm the palest. Oh, I'm so... And it was like a freaking...
contest?
Did you
even get... you must have been off the charts.
Right? Dude, I was a 00. It was a mother-daughter thing. And Emmy was a 002. And we were both like, oh, God. And like, we're not saying anything because we're both like... why, like, within the white spectrum, are people arguing over who's the whitest?
I know, that's almost like racist.
No, it is. It's a kind of racism within white people, right? Like, and you know, from relatives that I have, like, who are black.
Who can get the furthest away from black?
Yeah, but also within the black community, there's been a lot of that as well. And in other different communities.
I know from living down in Florida, there's a huge amount of that, but we have no place to talk about that.
No, we don't. We don't at all. But so I, because I'm ignorant, had no idea that white people did that too.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
And maybe it's because I am so pale that I never thought about it. Like, you know, maybe... I had, not only am I white, I have the privilege of being ultra white, or maybe I just don't care. I don't know, because I'm not into makeup and stuff, so that's never been a thing, but I was friggin' shocked, man.
I can understand.
And it was so stupid. Like, people were putting things on that didn't match their skin just to be paler, just to be whiter.
Hey, I just had an idea. Your story was rocking, baby. Uh-huh. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
He didn't. He wanted to talk about farts in our random thought.
No, but we can do that later. This is going to be the longest random thought ever.
No,
I just had an idea. Like, and this might already exist, sort of. But what if you had like a little website or a podcast or a blog site or something where you just took things that were normal?
Yeah.
Like what you were just talking about, like the white skin, the skin tone scale. But you changed all the names to things like what I was talking about, like fish belly. And every descriptive word.
Lard.
Every title for the colors.
Yeah. Pig lard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's something that nobody wants to be described as.
Maggots.
Yeah.
Yeah, because maggots are white, right? Oh, wow.
Yeah. But they have a little bit of either a yellow... They're like,
they're kind
of
like me, man.
Sometimes maggots look like they're smokers. And they're like, but sometimes they also have kind of a grayish tint, too. So.
You know what's sad? Sad is that you know the different colors of maggots, baby.
Oh, I see a lot of maggots, man.
Don't ask.
Mostly like trash related, but.
Still don't ask. Don't ask.
You know you're white trash when you. I'm just kidding.
Saying white trash is racist because it's signifying. That, like, that descriptor of white indicates that, wait, it's a special kind of trash. Or, like, it just assumes that trash is not white.
Oh,
yeah.
It's a special kind of trash.
No, but you know what I mean. Like, it's a big deal. It's not just Tiger King special. It's it's like a whole different kind of special.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's ridiculous. Well, I know exactly where you're going.
Yeah, but we've been, like, you know, like... I don't know the word because I'm tired, but like we've been trained to not think of that as a...
No, you're totally correct.
Yeah, and it's just like we're indoctrinated into using that term, right? But that term itself is not the coolest term. It's a racist term because of what it implies if you go another level, which is writers and human beings, we should know and want to fix so we can evolve.
You know what? I just even got that on the level where I think I should be getting it. Where you have to, because, and here's my thought, never mind, I just can't do it. But what you're saying is that calling a group of people white trash is differentiating that class, I'm going to go class level here, right? Just for my example, from the class level of people of color. Isn't that what you're saying?
It's, if you make the adjective.
Of the comparable.
If you put the adjective white in front of a negative term like trash, right? Then you're saying, oh, wait, let me specify what kind of trash.
Because it's special trash.
Right. Like, this is what... No, not special as in better, but special as in not what we would normally assume when we talk about people as trash.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that's a good way to put it, because I was exactly talking about phraseology.
My work here is done.
In different areas.
My work here is done. Geographically.
Writing tip of the paw.
Hey, so this week's writing tip, writing podcast, writing world, life world. Ah, such a hard day. Anyways, our title is called Facing the Facts About Wedgies, Soccer Coaches, and Elections.
Those good again?
Yeah, well, they do for us because obviously our brains are all over the place.
All right.
So once one of our kiddos had two soccer coaches at the same time. This is pretty normal. And one time at the game, her JV coach yelled at her, and it was not a kind yelling. And she cried the entire way home. She refused to cry on the bench because she's stoic like that. But as her mama, I was like, oh, look at those tightly drawn lips. My baby girl's going to cry.
You knew something was wrong, huh?
Yeah.
Carrie talked to the varsity coach the next morning, and he said, yeah, I had to do damage control on 4 or 5 players after that game. He had them all crying.
So it's hard for us sometimes to handle our kids crying about soccer, right?
Yeah.
And one, that's because in the big scheme of things, it's not important. But also, having someone yell at you, if we have empathy, right, for our child, is like having them give you a wedgie. It's embarrassing. You feel the opposite of awesome, and it can hurt. So it's never cool to watch people yell at each other if you have empathy. And that's the thing about everything, is that reality really hurts.
I have a question. What's the reality?
The reality is people yell at you.
And it sucks.
Yeah.
Okay.
So...
Go ahead.
No, you go, honey.
No, I was just saying that's such a horrible thing. It strikes a chord with me. That's why I don't, in school after grammar school and being on a baseball team, that's why I don't play team sports, because of butthole coaches.
Butthole.
I'm not lying.
I know you're not lying.
You know
and
what
everybody
I mean?
Think everybody looks at you and they're always like, "You play football, right?" And you're always like, "No."
If and I was a dad of an athlete, I can't imagine I wouldn't punch a couple people in the mouth. I swear, it's ignorant the way they talk to kids sometimes.
It very much is.
Just because you're not teaching, coaching a college or a pro team level, and those are your aspirations, doesn't mean you can't talk to kids like that.
Exactly.
Aspirations, not aspirations. Roll on, honey, I'm sorry.
No, you roll on, baby.
Oh, you gotta give me that?
I give you the last name.
Mahaley isn't my LL.
Oh my gosh.
Can you try? Carrie's going to interpret for me. It's a name.
Sizent Mahalia.
Okay.
All right.
Who wrote Finding Flow says, and I quote, "To achieve excellence, we must first understand the reality of the everyday with all its demands and potential frustrations." End quote. Crying because the soccer coaches counts as the reality of the other everyday moments.
And so it is like not putting the filter in the coffee maker right, so the 8 cups of coffee and water and coffee grinds spill all over the counter and the floor. And so does getting a wedgie or being trolled on Facebook by your great Aunt Mary's best friend who thinks wearing masks is a conspiracy sent by aliens from the planet Goodspa. And so... What, man?
Nothing.
And so does realizing that your work in progress or your book is in serious need of help.
Part of improvisational comedy and improvisational life is facing the facts even when those facts suck.
And that's why Patricia Ryan Madsen's 7th maxim in her book Improv Wisdom is all about that. Facing facts, right?
Yeah. Carrie really hates facing the facts.
I do sometimes.
But she likes the facts. Even when they are in her favor. Because the facts aren't lies.
I don't like lies.
And she really is a An intelligent, data-driven approacher of things most times.
Most times. All right, so we have to go with what truths we have. And sometimes, well, the truth that we have is a middle school JV soccer coach who makes people cry, or a politician, or a family member who does the same thing. Sometimes the truth is a ton of coffee-stained water on the floor, or a dog who peed when she woke up, and somehow that pee created a big puddle under your king-sized bed.
Look, I didn't put the subfloor down. It's not my fault if it's not level.
That happened this morning. So anyways, sometimes the truth is that your work in progress needs serious help, and sometimes it's a relationship that needs that help, or a country, or a community.
Or just a person.
Yep.
Yeah.
And today, the day we're releasing the podcast, is Election Day in the U.S. And it's not an understatement to say that the U.S. is having a difficult year and a lot of us are really worried about today.
Yeah.
And the future. But worries and wishes, that's not where it's at.
As this brilliant woman says.
Not me.
And I quote again. Wishing things were different simply wastes time. The improviser can't afford unrealistic thinking. Instead, she builds bridges over rocky terrain and turns lemons into lemonade. She works with what is actually in front of her, setting aside the temptation to dwell on what is not.
And who is that?
Quote, Patricia Madsen.
Again, she's so smart. So now is not the time for just worrying and wishing. It's the time for action. Write your books. Protest, whatever side you're on, protest. Vote for your candidates, whatever side you're on. Create the community and the laws and the system that seem fair and equitable to you. Don't go around giving everybody wedgies. Don't go around being the soccer coach making people cry. But do it. Make that change. Go after it, no matter what, right?
True that.
So I'll condense. The writing tip of the pod is...
wishing your story into existence doesn't make your story exist. Wow. We took a long road to get there.
Oh!
Dig in. Write it. Write it now. Oh, I liked the road.
It was more of a dog tip life today.
It was great, man. Yeah. All
right. Jeez, them.
Dog tip for life. I'll get a dog tip. Never mind. That's kind of my thing, isn't it?
The dog tip's always your thing because you're a dog, dog.
Sparty staring at us through the door like, hey, let me in there. I needed a tip. Darn it.
He is. The cat's in here, but he's not.
Oh my gosh, his girlfriend's in here and he's not.
That's very sad for Sparty dog.
He looks so forlorn.
I know.
Anyways, Sparty saith, don't laze around on the couch and let all the other dogs do the work. Bark. Wait, who said this?
I think it's more Gabby, honestly.
Guard things that are important to you. You can't complain that you don't get any treats if you never make an effort. Now that's Sparty.
That's right, definitely right. Sparty, man. So like Sparty, you know, like he makes the effort to get the treats. He stares at you forlornly, like he's staring at his kitty girlfriend right now. He like will try to telepathically make you give him your food.
I think he's trying to will the food right out of your hand.
Yeah, it's amazing. He's got an intense stare. He will do the fastest sit you've ever seen if there is a treat around, or you're near the pantry or in the kitchen.
Or you're pretending to have one.
Or if you're pretending. Sean. And that's how he gets things done, right?
Oh, he's a worker.
Yeah, for food.
He's a worker.
And then Gabby doesn't work for her treats at all, man. She's just like, whatever.
Yeah, but she works.
But she works in a very different way.
She barks all day long.
Because that's what's important to her, right?
Yeah, and then she pees on the floor when you're trying to get up in the morning and have a nice day.
She's very old.
Yeah.
Very old. Can we circle this back to wedgies somehow? Oh my gosh. Imagine instead of a regular election, everybody in America... like had a wedgie election,
yeah.
And like whoever gave the worst wedgies won or lost.
I was thinking the candidates had to stand there, and the voters lined up, and As when you got to the head of the line, you split whichever way you go, and you give your candidate... No, you give the opposing candidate a wedgie.
Yeah.
There you go.
That would be effective.
Yeah, but
nobody not many people
want to get elected anymore. Oh, maybe that's the best route.
I know.
Self-governing country.
Oh, my gosh. I would love that. Oh,
for the people, by the people. Oh, wait.
For the wedgie, by the wedgie.
They've already done that kind of stuff.
For the wedgie, by the wedgie, yeah. Like,
live by the wedgie, die by the wedgie.
Oh, we should just put wedgie.
Don't tread on my wedgie.
What's New Hampshire's motto? Live wedgie. Wait,
you're
live
from free. New Hampshire.
I know. Here. Whatever.
But I don't know Florida.
Live
either,
free
so.
Or die. Okay, that's what New Hampshire's thing is. So how can we put wedgie in there?
Just live free or wedgie.
Yes. Let's put wedgie in every logo
wedgie
and
can
slogan.
Just be the official punishment of the United States.
That's such a bully thing to do. So it's kind of perfect.
Death by wedgie. The slow death by a thousand wedgies.
Ask not what your wedgie can do for you, but what you can do for your wedgie.
See what this country's become. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Please like it and subscribe.
You can find it anywhere that podcasts are, because I don't know why they haven't kicked us off yet.
Yeah.
And you can join over 250,000 people who have listened to this podcast.
Man, you've been saying that number for a while.
Yeah. Well, it's really 250,000. I don't even know. It's a big number.
Sweet.
Anyways, the music that we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome, and it is made available through the Creative Commons license. If you go to our show notes on carriejonesbooks.blog or Dogs Are Smarter Than People, you can find out who this artist is and what their song is, and even go to their artist website. But it's Summer Spliff, and it's by Broke for Free. And you can find out more about my books and all that kind of stuff, being my writing class, and I teach and I edit things, by checking out Carrie Jones Books, CarrieJones Books.
Yeah.
.blog.
I got to tell you real quick.
Oh, no, honey, don't.
No, I just want to say that you're the best editor, teacher, writing coach ever.
Very sweet.
Okay.
Very sweet.
I mean that. Very I can sweet. Tell from your students' reactions when I overhear them in the class, Zoom classes, and I read your reviews and your emails. I love you. You're amazing. Thanks for listening.
Oh, you're supposed to be fast.
Okay, I was done with all that.